Welcome back to the Live Elevated podcast with Brian Pruitt. I'm your host, Brian, and this podcast is all about getting and staying fit for life and living the elevated life. And so today is a really cool episode. I brought in a friend of mine, a good buddy. I haven't known him that long, but it's interesting when you meet someone who seems to be on the same wavelength, to value similar things you value, and to be living from this place of love and joy and appreciation, gratitude, and this peaceful place. It's very attractive, and when that is your reality, and it's vibing with you, and there's alignment there. It is pretty crazy how you can know someone for a short amount of time, but feel like you know them your whole life. Does that make sense? So Ryan Tuttle is a buddy of mine who is just that. He is a breath of fresh air. He is a Zen master. Incredible storyteller. He is an awesome human being. He is a fellow, you know, fit husband individual who is trying to expand beyond himself. So he's local to Sarasota. We talk about everything from breath work, meditation, morning routines and rituals, to surfing, to life and childhood trauma, healing, ego, all these different things, spirituality and connecting with God and doing life with God. An incredible conversation. I think we're just scratching the surface of what Ryan and I could dive into deeper about. And so definitely buckle up for a good one. It's very packed. I appreciate Ryan just sharing his heart, sharing his story. He jumps right into it early and often within the episode. So, you know, brace yourself for honesty, brace yourself for transparency, and for this man to share his story and how he got from where he is now, how he got from where he was, being abused, and his story of trauma and drug abuse and drug use, to where he is now, which is this really bright light, rediscovering who he was made to be and letting that shine for everyone to see, bringing other people along with him and impacting the world around him for good. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my good friend, Ryan Tuttle. All right, Ryan, dude, stoked to chat, man. Welcome into the studio.
Yes.
We talked about you already. What'd you do? You did a little sauna, cold plunge action to start your morning?
First thing, right into the sauna, 15-minute meditation.
Before coffee?
This was before coffee, yeah, and then rolled it to the cold plunge.
What does that do for you? Does it set you up, like, does it calm you down? Does it give you like that feeling of being centered? Like, what does it do for you?
Yeah, I think it actually brings in some centeredness and focus. A little burst of energetic, just excitement about the day.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it just kind of hones me in and kind of like tunes me in, yeah, for the day.
What did you do before? Because, I mean, you have a sauna, cold plunge, epic jungle backyard combo. But what did you do before that stuff? Like, if you didn't have access to that, you know, how did you start your mornings? Does it look any different?
A little bit different. I would generally read and body roll. So still very kind of like therapeutic for me, just kind of in a different way. So I would maybe read for 10 or 15 minutes. I would still meditate. I just would do it outside. And I still do that outside sometimes if I'm just feeling like I want to mix things up a little bit. But getting on a yoga mat, doing a gentle little flow, yeah, some yin yoga, stretching out, and then roll that into my day.
So speaking of some yoga flow, I was reading this book. We talked about breath, and we'll talk about breath, you know, throughout this conversation. I feel like definitely more in depth because I think, well, in general, dude, you're a wealth of information. I feel like you're a Zen master. Like you've just learned so much through the years from experience, from reading, but the Tibetan Five Rites, right? Something like that, where this guy, James Nestor, mm-hmm, mentioned that he would do, you know, five different movements in the morning anchored to his breath, and it's supposed to be like this fountain of youth, you know, sort of combination of movements. which is cool because it kind of gives you like a direction to go into. You know, it's nice to just simply breathe and be still, but then it's also nice to combine that with stretches or other things like that, movements to where you're actually getting up and moving your body and kind of creating that energy to start your day.
Sure.
But yeah, before we get into this conversation, I woke up, I'm like, man, Ryan is the, preparing for this podcast, I'm like, Ryan is the one of the few men out there who has a voice for radio and a face for TV. So you got both, my brother. You are blessed. So yeah, I mean, I appreciate your friendship. I'm stoked to have you on. We'll get into a lot of stuff, you know, your story, my story, breath, you know, breath work, meditation, spirituality, faith, you know, fitness, all the whole nine, family, marriage. But, you know, before we jump into it, like people who don't know you, like who's Ryan? Like give us a little background on maybe like where you grew up and how your childhood was.
Yeah, sure. In 1983, a beautiful, strapping young baby boy.
There once was a man.
Yes.
The man, the myth, the legend.
I won't take it back that far, but I think just to maybe bring some context to kind of how I live my life today, maybe we do take it a little bit back to my childhood.
Sure.
And
or I guess even before we get into that, like how did we meet in like a little bit about your story, because you mentioned you lived in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
You know, but you grew up in Texas.
Yep.
Right? So, yeah, that was a journey, obviously.
Yeah. I grew up in Texas. My family, my father, are actually originally from here, from the Bradenton area.
Oh, wow.
And that's where my parents met. And, yeah, I mean, we basically... family moved back to Texas and spent the majority of my life there and then transitioned over into Costa Rica, which I'll circle back to.
Family like Drew Haas?
Yeah, yeah, Haas. All of my mom's side. Yeah, so dad's side's really from the East Coast and mom's side's all from the Texas area.
Okay, cool.
But life for me kind of got off to a little bit of a bumpy start. My parents were high school sweethearts. They married young. I was an accident and... you know, my father really couldn't cope with that at that time. And so he bounced. And I really didn't have any involvement with him until later on in life. My mother remarried to my sister's father. He was in the military, moved us to California, and he became a drug addict and an abuser. And so my sister was his little angel, his daughter, and I kind of became the stepson, ragdoll.
And taking out frustrations of life.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah, and I just remember being so afraid of him and just went through a period of some really awful times, some bad experiences that happened to me, some encounters that are so very, very vivid. And that I dealt with for a long period of my life. And I'll tell you one story, just because it's extremely vivid to me. And I remember like it was yesterday, and it's funny how sometimes as kids or even as adults, you can kind of think back and there's just certain moments and situations that just are like they happened yesterday.
They stick, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mother was working, and she called, and... it was those old school phones that were on the wall, the punch dials that had a long, curly cord.
Yeah.
But this one particularly ran all the way down to the floor. And he must have been on a bender the night before because he was asleep with my sister in my parents' room. Hmm. And I just remember her needing to speak to him. And I was so afraid to wake him up. Hmm. But at the same time, I didn't want to lead her on to thinking that I was something was going on, because at that time I was hiding everything because he had threatened my life and he was threatening her life as well.
Wow.
And as a little kid, I mean, you don't know what's true and what's not.
No.
And so I remember building up the courage to go and wake him up. And he was so out of it that he didn't even hear the phone ring. And so I just remember shaking him and he turned over and I told him that mom was on the phone and that she needed to speak to him, and then I ran into my room. And I can just remember the conversation and then the phone hanging up and the footsteps. And he comes into the room, and I just remember him staring at me, and he doesn't say anything. And he just kicks me right in my sternum.
Gosh.
And he hits me so hard that I fly across the room underneath the bunk beds that me and my sister shared, and I hit the wall so hard that it put an impression into the wall.
Wow.
And I just remember that stare, and then he just turned out of the room, and he left, and he went back to bed. And so things like that happened for several years until my mother built up enough courage and notified my family. They came and got me and took me back to Texas until she could get herself out of that situation. So to kind of bring the conversation forward from childhood to kind of like, you know, before you met me and kind of like how I'm living my life now, and to give some context, you have to understand that the first two men that I had in my life was a father that abandoned me and another man that abused me. And so you can imagine the profound effect that that had on my childhood development, how I interact with the world, and how that kind of transformed my behavior.
How you view yourself.
Exactly. Leading through my teens into adulthood, and you could even argue, or even into certain situations today that, you know, have an effect on how that period in my life, you know, transformed me into who I am, and made me go into a certain direction and a journey that I'm on now.
Yeah, and who you are now. I mean, you know, who the way you live your life and approach. Your life, how you treat people, how you treat yourself, it's very powerful. It's very profound. And I think when I first met you, Josh introduced me to you.
Yeah.
But immediately I felt that sense of like that draw to you. I read about how, you know, people similar to planets, we have this gravitational pull, right? And like that's gravitas, right? Gravity, gravitas. And I felt that pull to you because I could sense just how much, cheesy as it sounds, like love is in your heart, which is really profound, especially since I hear this side of, you know, your story, your childhood. So, yeah. I mean, number one, like, I'm just really freaking proud of you, bro. Like, to have overcome so many things. Like, it's not like you can wipe stuff away, but who you are now, the man I see in front of me, is really inspiring. So we can chat more about that for sure. But then now you, like, take us to where you are now. You lived in Costa Rica, you kind of went on a journey there, and what, I guess, when did you, can you look back right now and think of a season in your life where things kind of, the light kind of came on, where you began that self, you know, that journey inward, that search for God, that healing, like, whatever that looked like for you, you know, do you remember a time and place in your life?
It was the latter part of my time in Costa Rica, and I moved there in my early 20s, right out of college. I thought that changing, you know, I had kind of gotten to kind of a pattern of drinking a lot, experimenting with drugs, and then experimenting with drugs became more frequent to where it was happening every few days out of the week, and just a lot, you know, a lot of self-pity, ego involved, you know, again, putting not knowing how to properly cope with the things that happened to me in my past.
Yeah.
You know, those are just things that I just continued just to bury and bury and bury, and I never sat down and spoke to anyone about it, and they just showed their face in different ways, right?
Well, it's almost like, how could you, too? How could you address that by yourself?
Yeah.
To your point, you needed some outside help.
Yeah, and so I was, you know, I was a lost 22-year-old, 23-year-old kid that, you know, grew up, you know, ended up growing up and having a pretty good, you know, teen throughout my teens, living well. My mother remarried and to a pretty stable guy who taught me a lot of good things in life and how to work hard. And so the direction he, everyone got me kind of going in the right direction. But when it got to that point, you know, I'm out on my own. I'm out of the house. Yeah. Now it's like it's on me.
You're only living with yourself.
Yeah, like. And I wasn't there. And so she just started making the exact same mistakes that I was making before when I was back in Texas. All I did was just change locations. And so the defining moment really was I actually was in a relationship with a girl who was from Europe, and she was living temporarily in Costa Rica, and she was going back home, and I was just consumed by this bubble. This is where I was going to be. You know, I'm running a real estate brokerage. I'm surfing twice a day. Life is grand.
Yeah, yeah. Epic. And,
yeah. But I didn't realize that I wasn't growing as a human being. I was actually going in the opposite direction. And she, before she left, things weren't working out. And before she left, she said, "Ryan, I see that there's just so much more in you. And I don't feel like this is your life." Wow. Like, are you going to be just this old expat that's hanging out in this small town, going to the bar on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights and drinking it up with, you know, all your other drinking buddies and living in this small little Costa Rican town? And don't get me wrong, it's a beautiful, but I just see you doing so much more than what you have right now.
Wow.
And that, for the first time in my life, that landed. And it didn't happen overnight, but I just started to see what my life would potentially look like. You know, I remember going into a bar and seeing a gentleman, I won't name his name, but he was in his 70s. He was just sitting at a bar. He was incoherently intoxicated. He had been in the war, and like that, he was dealing with stuff that he had encountered. And I just remember looking at him going, "Man, I don't want to be like that."
You saw the future in that moment.
That's not who I want to be. And so I made the decision that Costa Rica no longer was going to be a fit for me. And once I made that decision, I said, wherever I go next, I don't want to know anyone. I want a clean slate, and I'm going to go start and try to improve myself in all the ways.
Wow.
And so I knew that my father had familiarity with Bradenton. He was from here.
You're biological.
Yeah. I wasn't going to negotiate not being away from the ocean. That was like a non-negotiable. But I didn't want to go back to a community where I had friends. Mm-hmm. I wanted to come to a place where I knew nobody.
Yeah.
But also, I was in real estate development and real estate sales, and I wanted to come to a place to where I could kind of get in lockstep and start moving right into you know, a career path wherever I was landing. I knew real estate was doing extremely well here in the Florida, in the Sarasota area. I was like, you know what, this is going to be a good fit for me.
Sure.
So came here, didn't know anyone, and I immediately was like, okay, what can I do to get myself more involved, not only with finding a community that is right for me, but how can I start to work on myself?
Yeah.
And I started taking 7 to 10 minute yoga classes with Adrienne on YouTube. And I pulled
that out. That was the channel name?
Yeah, her name's Adrienne. She's actually massive on YouTube. She's got a huge following. Yeah, Yoga with Adrienne, I believe it is. And I just started doing 10 minutes of that, and just doing some yoga, sitting down. I started opening books up again. I hadn't read for years, started reading. I got involved with the CrossFit community, started getting around like-minded individuals that, you know, put health and wellness and making that a priority.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's like once you just surround yourself with those types of individuals, like you start feeling the inspiration.
Yep.
And then I got really – my last few years in Costa Rica, I got really, really close with a few guys from Austin that I became dear friends with and who I consider some of my best homies today.
Beautiful.
And they were already living that life and already on that trajectory and way ahead of me. But to see what they were doing with their lives created a lot of inspiration for me as well. And that's just kind of how it just started to just snowball.
Yeah.
And once I began to do the work on myself, it was like a wildfire internally for me.
Yeah.
and everything started to change.
That divine spark started, you know, ignited, reignited, started to grow.
Yeah.
You mentioned, man, beautiful, dude, and you're such a great storyteller. I'm like locked in, like you're like your gaze. But you mentioned something powerful, Ryan. Like, you know, your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
She told you the truth, and the truth cuts.
Mm.
The truth stings. But then it frees you to make change happen. You mentioned maybe you heard some of the similar truths throughout your life, but that one time it kind of stuck and maybe woke you up. What was it about what she said to you that made the difference versus all the other times you might have heard similar truths? Or was that only the first time that someone actually told you the truth, like, in that way?
I think it was the first time that someone actually called me out on my bullcrap.
And other people just... And other times in your life previously, it's just kind of like, let Ryan do Ryan.
Yeah. You know, a lot of individuals knew what I had kind of gone through.
Right.
And it's like, oh, it's going to, you know.
And in light of that, like, of course, like, just let him.
Yeah.
You know.
And I felt like I deserved that. Right. It's like, again, like you, I'm deserving of all. I'm deserving to go out and do this. Placing blame.
Sure.
On everything and everyone else other than myself.
Hmm.
And I just think maybe I was just ready in that moment to receive what I really needed to hear.
Yeah.
And she was the individual that was just the person that was willing to tell me the truth about myself.
Doing God's work. You can make a case for how much love she had in her heart for you, you know, is very powerful, because she was willing to forego that continued relationship. To tell you the truth at the expense of that relationship's future, you know. But that's a beautiful thing, because here you are today, and that became the catalyst for all this progress and all this growth and all this healing. So that's amazing, dude. You're a big surfer. You mentioned that in Costa Rica. So, like, I guess, like, what do you love most about surfing?
It's such a unique. I don't even look at it as a sport. Like, I see it as a therapeutic connection with Earth.
Yeah.
It's no just doubt. So unique in the fact that you are, you know, every wave is so different, and just every experience out there can touch you in a different way.
There's literally no exact same wave.
No.
Combinations of factors.
No. And just think about how much science and energy is involved to get that wave from point A to that beach that you're sitting on. So it's an experience. Like, I've had some of the most beautiful moments of my entire life have come on a surfboard.
Interesting.
I remember just sobbing, crying in Costa Rica on a day that it just was pouring rain, and I was out there all alone and it had just wiped off. And just, like, I just thought about, like, just certain memories and things that, you know, came up for me.
Hmm.
So it's a sense of freedom. It's a sense of connection to Earth. And really, it's kind of a connection to myself as well.
Yeah.
Like, I feel liberated and free when I surf.
Yeah. I mean, physically, of course, like, you're out in the middle of the ocean. Like, it's beautiful. But then emotionally, spiritually, like, even more, you're connected. I mean, really, you're not even just connected. And I'll check the time for my camera. But you're engulfed, literally. Within creation, within nature. So it's almost like creation just giving you a big, big hug before it just freaking slams you in the tide.
Yeah, no, that's
but it's life, though, too, right?
Absolutely.
Like life is not free from tidal waves or storms or pain. I had a conversation with who was it? Shoot, Andre. Dre Helmuth. And we were talking about at the pool the other day, and we were talking about how profound this idea of, you know, you can resist and really fight against the waves, especially when you crash, right? So you get up on a wave, and just even the getting up of the wave, you have to go with the wave. You have to go with the flow. You can't fight the wave. You're not going to get up. Once you're up, though, eventually, if you don't pop out and get over it, you find yourself crashing and maybe rolling with the wave as it carries you. One of the worst things you can do is fight that wave. You're not going to win. right? But that idea is so powerful, so crazy to me, because if you fight it, you have like 5 or 10 seconds to hold your breath. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
But if you just let yourself be rolled under and go with the flow and understand this is a process, this is the ebb and flow of life, the in, the outs, this is a part of the process, you can hold your breath in that serene feeling or serene state for a minute, you know? So I'm still trying to figure that part out, because when I get hit and go under the wave and I can't breathe, I panic. But I think in life, that's a snapshot of life in general, where I think I am trying to get better. I am training and getting better at going with the flow, allowing the waves to roll over me, knowing that God's with me, he's for me, he's got my back, we're going to make it, this too shall pass, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a fantastic analogy. I mean, it really is, you know, a lesson in life.
Yeah. So the biggest lesson from, or the most important, or I guess your most enjoyable aspect of surfing is that connectedness where you feel. It's
so.
Almost like a practice, almost like the yoga is a direction to go into for being present, being with your breath, allowing your thoughts to, I guess, come to the surface and have more clarity.
Yeah, it's like a gateway.
What are some other gateways for you?
I mean, yoga now, meditation. Sauna.
I'll tell you that much. You can't. You'll fight some demons in the sauna. Yeah,
that is. You talk about a gateway. Yeah. Every time that door opens, that is. That has become such a integral part of my daily practice, is getting in that sauna, and a lot of times I enjoy it with my wife, and we even have some intimate moments of just sitting there and breathing together, but. Being in a sauna at 200 degrees, especially in the one that I have all alone.
Sisu.
Yeah.
Shout out Sisu sauna.
Shout out Sisu. Peter, what's up? it really gets you connected with yourself, and it really provides you with a heck of an external bump, right, as such in life. Mm-hmm. And it's how you respond. There's no running away from that heat. Yeah. It's can you sit with it and
can you embrace it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same thing with the waves, right? You got to get out of the whitewash. You got to go through the whitewash. So the only way out is through.
That's right.
The only way out of that sauna is persevering. You know, pushing through, and not in some grunt. I'm gonna get this done sort of thing. I mean, at least in my experience, that can be some of the most exhausting. Moments, but it's when I just know that I have the strength within. Obviously, being smart, you know, I'm not going to go out there with 20 footers or 10 footers for me. Like, I'm not going to be dumb, but it's understanding like the only way out of something is through it. And you really can't get out of, I mean, you can't get away from that heat, which makes it to me a little bit harder than a cold plunge in a lot of ways, right?
I agree.
For you?
Yeah. The more you try and fight that heat, it's just like the wave, right? You just almost have to surrender to that and be in that moment and just allow that heat to just engulf you.
And it's amazing. I mean, everyone knows the quote where focus goes, energy flows, and what you focus on expands.
Yeah.
And so whether it be the cold water, the size and power of the waves, or the heat of the sauna, like when you focus on those alone, you're going to be freaking really frustrated, exhausted, overwhelmed. Right. But then it's just, I don't know, it's just the breath is always something so tangible where it's with you in every moment and you can connect with that, or think of something else where it kind of gives you the power to overcome. Right. You can think about God, think about, you know, your wife, whatever that is. But I mean, the breath is so powerful. Speaking of breath, too, what does that say on my tea?
Breath is the voice of your soul.
What are your thoughts on that?
Breath is the voice of your soul.
Powerful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that book right there.
Mm-hmm. James Nestor, Breath, for those of you listening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Will change the way or your perception on how you breathe.
So what's some takeaways? Like, what's a big takeaway from that book that you know, that stuck with you?
The biggest takeaway for me is just we as a human species have forgotten how to breathe.
Yeah.
You know, we had this conversation the other day in the pool. You look at your little girl and watch how she breathes.
Deep belly.
As we mature and as we start getting into life and stresses and obligations.
Distractions.
It's like a weight that just presses down on us.
Yep.
And we forget that innate ability to just take a breath and do it naturally. And that really was the biggest takeaway from that. But it's like, whoa. Okay, if we really strip things down, and you took away everything, if we can just relearn how to properly breathe, like so many diseases, illnesses, stresses, distraction, it'll all dissipate.
Yeah. It's so good, man. I heard a guy on YouTube, so take this for what it's worth.
Okay.
Because everything on YouTube is the truth.
But, has to be.
Yeah. Everything. He said, you know, he was researching. He spent most of his life, 30, 40 years, researching like just disease, but also the human body and immune system and the way the human system works and all these different things. But it was more so how to like overcome illness and health and wellness in that sense. But he said basically he can condense his entire life's work into really one idea. And he said that the presence of oxygen is the absence of disease, which is very interesting. And it kind of goes to that point where we are a species that forgot how to breathe. We breathe shallow, up in the chest, very stressful breaths. And you got to imagine that affects, biologically, it affects the well-being of your system, your body. You know, you're not getting the circulation you may need. You're not getting the air you need to keep your vitality alive, you know? So how do you remember throughout your day? Because, you know, I'm thinking about breath now, but what happens when we're in it and we're working and we're in the middle of something and we kind of lose, you know, maybe we hours go by and we haven't really taken an intentional full breath. Like, how do you get good at remembering to breathe?
I mean, that's a really good question. I think it starts with even if it's taking a minute out of your day or 2 minutes out of your day, to just be intentional with it. And creating almost a systematic habit of just taking pause.
Checking in
with yourself. Couple deep inhales, couple deep exhales. Finding a meditation practice. And even if you're not into meditation, I get that. But maybe you pick up a book. Maybe you go and get your feet in your backyard.
Yeah.
Maybe you touch a tree. You know, my wife is so good about this.
Yeah.
And it's been such a huge influence for me about slowing down, you know, and just because I'm one of those, I have been in years past one of those guys that wasn't good with emptiness, with space.
Keep talking. I gotta get the video.
Okay.
Here you go. Not good with space.
Yeah, not giving space and filling it with activities, filling it with doing things. And she was just a constant reminder that, you know, taking a step back and taking pause and taking breath and putting more time to intentionally give back to yourself is going to provide so many long-term benefits for you. And so really, I mean, just to get good at breathing is just to begin to allow yourself to slow down.
Right.
I think really that for me, that's been the biggest part is just to remind myself to slow down. And slowing down, you remind yourself, hey, let's take a break. Let's pause. Let's breathe.
Yeah. I was gonna mention the fact that like slowing down your breath is so essential to like well-being. And I was gonna say too, like if you used to be a high-strung type of individual, like I'm just thinking there's so much hope for me, you know, like, because I'm thinking, listening to you, I mean, you are so intentional, and you can sense that, you know, you have that, those practices within your day. You are a very centered individual, grounded. And I think you mentioned a few things, the, you know, barefoot on the backyard, the grass, and, you know, just like studying nature, studying nature, you know, looking at trees, feeling trees, you know, three deep breaths. I think that's what I would say is what's helped me is, you know, meditation. That's kind of what I want to ask you real quick. But meditation used to be so daunting because I just thought it had to be like a 20-minute ordeal when it can really be one deep breath, three deep breaths. But it's about just kind of removing and letting the stuff that's superficial or, you know, the anxiety you're carrying or the worry you're carrying that's not yours to carry and letting it go and just inhaling fully, exhaling, releasing that, which is so powerful. So meditation for you, like, what is meditation to you? What, how does it help you? You know, what is meditation for you?
I think it allows me to kind of take a step back, and I say this often, to become the observer. Meditation was extremely hard for me. It still can be hard, you know. Calming the mind, slowing that thing down, that's a tricky thing. That's life's work,
yeah,
brother. Really is. Yeah. So the relationship that you have with that is, it's, for me, what I found is that it's not about trying to stop your mind. That is going to be an uphill battle for the majority of us.
Sure.
Right? It's
debatably more, impossible, right? Like, it's going to keep going, but it's a matter of, continue.
So, you know, unless you grew up in a monastery, right. Like your life's devotion is to, you know, mastering the mind.
Right.
Imagine for most that, of us, yeah.
Should we start a monastery?
I mean, we could. We're talking about buying property out east already. So
here we go.
Possibility. For me, it's just about recognizing where you're at in that moment, and rather than trying to stop your mind from all of these thoughts, taking a step back and observing those thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. And just allowing them to kind of pass and just being in that moment. And when you are actually in that moment, you will recognize when you're actually beginning to drift away. Mm-hmm. But because you are grounded in that particular moment and aware and being the observer, you're like, ah, okay, I'm going here. Let's bring it right back in. Mm-hmm. And then your mind's going to drift away again, and then you bring it back in. Yeah. And that, to me, is the real practice of meditation. It's it's pulling yourself back into this present moment.
Which is awesome, because you can almost embrace a meditative approach to life.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the goal, right? The goal is not to just have a compartment of your life where this is me meditating.
Yeah.
Like, the goal is to live that throughout your life. It's kind of like in scripture, there's a verse that says, pray without ceasing.
Mm.
Talk to God without ceasing. You know, and that doesn't always mean like, hey, God, audibly. Like, that is a prayerfulness approach to life. It's a heart posture, let's say. There's a couple of cool quotes that just come to mind, where I think meditation and being mindful is kind of the gateway into these deeper truths, where I forget who said it, but he said the journey, maybe it's not about becoming anything else, anybody else, but it's about unbecoming everything that's not you, so you can be who you were meant to be in the first place. And I think about who I am is who God says I am. Like, everything that's truly me is from God. Anything that's not me is what I've self-constructed or been told or something like that. So I was on the way home driving yesterday, and I was talking to God audibly in my car by myself, like a crazy man.
I love that.
I know. it's my favorite thing to do. And I was just like, I was giving thanks for life. Mm. I was giving thanks for where I am, but also where I'm not, and the space between where I am now and where I want to go. And I just mentioned something. I said, you know, I'm not everything I should be, but that's only because I haven't let go of everything that's not truly me. Mm. So I think just this practice of living mindfully, like what you're after, what I'm after, it's illuminating these truths in our life in a very powerful way, which then ripples into our lives. So it's not just about me and being more enlightened or being more self-aware, but when I actually experience that, when I seek and I search and I pursue God and I am living mindfully, aware of my breath, aware of my stressors, anxieties, and trying to let them go, I'm being a better husband. Mm. I'm being a better father. You know, so I can avoid some of the things that you experienced and people experience where we take out frustrations on other people, you know? So like doing the work, and when I say the work, I mean like growing in who you truly are is everything, because then it stops events, traumatic events from happening. It stops pain that you inflict on other people, which then perpetuates forward automatically, naturally.
Yeah.
Until someone had enough love in their heart to tell you the truth, when it's like, hey, you are not your past. You are not what that man did to you or that person said to you, but you're identifying with that and it's keeping you stuck and it's allowing you to shame yourself, but also, so it's like you're living in this like self-guilt, but you're also then saying, well, I deserve to drink my sorrows away because of what happened to me, as opposed to maybe I'm worthy to heal. Maybe I'm enough and I matter enough to accept the past as it is and choose to heal, choose to grow, right? And choose to allow the overcoming process to begin.
Yeah, it's well said.
Thank you. That, I mean, so that's just, and truthfully, I think surrounding myself with people like you, like Josh, we have so many great conversations, and you know, I think so much of it is the voices you listen to and the people you interact with. So, you know, having you in my life is obviously been a huge blessing and a catalyst for a lot of things as well. But you mentioned something. We had a really good convo on the bridge, the Ringling Bridge during the Blaze of Hope. Shout out Blaze of Hope, Lisa, with an amazing organization that's raising awareness for childhood cancer. She's doing great work. And you mentioned something, because we were talking about, a lot of things, but we were talking about how time is money. But then again, maybe it's not, because we all have the same 24 in a day. But yet so many people do infinitely greater things with that time.
Yes.
So what'd you say? Time is not money. What is?
The argument was, or I should say it wasn't an argument.
No, we were fighting.
Yeah.
It was like a
lot of people say that time is the greatest commodity in life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Time is money.
And my argument would be, while it's a value, presence has a greater commodity. Presence is of greater value.
Yes.
And that, and to give the example that I gave on the bridge is, you have 10 minutes in the morning versus someone that has 45 minutes in the morning. And if you spend those 10 minutes with full intentionality and presence and awareness versus someone who has more time than you, that wakes up, jumps on Instagram, immediately gets into their iPhone, starts checking emails, completely distracted, what's of more value there? The guy, the person that has 45 more minutes than you, 35 more minutes than you, or the guy or the girl that just has 10 minutes and just maximizes and squeezes everything that they have out of that 10 minutes that they have with themselves.
Yes.
That's presence.
Yes.
That has so much more value, in my opinion.
So presence is your most valuable asset. Before we get into how to, like, I think there's a skill on how to be more present, right? There's a habit that you can get into that allows you to be more present. But it is interesting that you have a person who's got 10 minutes and you have another person who's got, let's say, an hour, because I'm dumb and let's keep the math simple. but it's like there's almost like this illusion for the person with more time that they can maybe squander it here early on, maybe check a couple things, be distracted, because they have a lot more time, right? So you can, you know, you play catch up and you'll take advantage on the second half. But what happens so often is that illusion continues, and before you know it, that freaking hour is up. And I'm like, what did I do with that hour? I lost that hour. And of course, I think there's lessons to be learned to where that can serve you, so it's not wasted time. But it is not a place where I want to stay. I want to take that 10 minutes and be so present, so focused, so singular in my attention that I can multiply whatever I'm working on, which is really cool. So it's like that illusion. Mm. And it's almost like if you chunk your day up into the 4-hour workday, the 3-hour workday, like you probably get a lot more done in that 3-hour span than if you did a 9-to-5 like window of time where you have all this work and you kind of are doing busy work or doing just to do it. So it's a very interesting idea. So how do you, how does one grow in presence? Like, how do you take advantage of your presence more?
I think just becoming more aware of not being present, you know, and I still struggle with this all the time. I mean, again, this is a continued
yeah.
life's work. And I was at a point in my life where I couldn't pay attention for 5 seconds. I mean, there's still times where Jess has to, hey, ring me in.
Goldfish.
Yeah, I'm like you said, you're having conversations in the car. We'll be walking Dudley down the street, and she'll just see my lips mumbling, and I'm yeah, you know. I'm 3 hours ahead of where we're supposed to be.
Right.
But it's just you know, she's like, hey, do you even, what was I just talking about?
Yeah.
And then now I'm just.
That's the worst, eh? When the wives double check what I just say. What did I just say?
Yeah.
Are you listening?
She gives you that good look. Because Jet, if you haven't met my wife, she, I say that in a past life, she was like a witch, but in the most beautiful way.
Yeah.
Like just. She may even be a goddess. I don't know. But that woman is so grounded and just so in lockstep.
Yeah.
That it naturally just makes me want to be better. Yeah. She's been such a huge influence on where I'm at with communication and presence today.
Yeah.
But it just starts with these simple principles. It just starts with taking a few minutes of your time and really trying to focus on just being aware and being present and kind of going inwards and asking yourself some tough questions sometimes. Sometimes it takes being called out by your wife as a reminder that, hey, this is something that maybe I need to devote some energy to.
Yeah.
To be better at.
Yeah, that's facts, man. Be here now. I love that quote.
Be here now.
Yeah. And that's really the essence of being present, is just being singular of focus, being in the moment. And when you do that, you have like, it seems as if you have a lot more time. You have infinite moments versus the person who's constantly living in the past or always seeking the future.
Yeah.
So that's a very interesting idea. What's something, and you mentioned marriage too, like we can get into that, I think on a different episode, but what's something that you think, and could be marriage, but what's a topic of interest that we haven't talked about that you're like, it's been interesting to you lately? Anything come to mind?
Honestly, I'm interested in kind of your transition.
Oh,
maybe it's for another episode as well.
Yeah.
But like, I know you from just the past few months, the guy that you're on, this trajectory that you are, and I want to give you a compliment. Where you're at compared to where I was at, you know, 10 years ago, is light years away.
Hmm.
I mean, I feel as though, but I why I have a strong connection towards you is because I feel as though, even though our journeys are different and unique,
sure,
we're on that same trajectory, right? So we're kind of running these parallels,
yeah.
And we were able to just kind of merge that together.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's one of those situations where I knew of you, but I didn't know the man that you are.
Yeah.
Now that I know the man that you are, and now I just want to surround myself with more men like you.
Same. Okay? Dude, I received that, bro.
Yeah. So maybe it's this podcast, maybe it's not. You know, you talk about some of your problems, troubles that you've had in your past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the audience needs to hear about that at some point in time or a little bit more.
It's true.
Something else that maybe we haven't talked about. I feel like we've talked about a lot.
We have. And I have a couple more questions for you. But I think the, I mean, dude, yes. So well said. I'm honored too. I mean, I think like our journeys are always unique to us, but they are so interconnected, you know? And I think the biggest change in my life lately has been one of, I think it's easy growing up in church to, how's my stomach? I'm hungry.
He hasn't had his six eggs yet this morning.
My stomach just made a freaking wild Jurassic Park noise. But I think it's easy to live in this state of like otherness. I don't know. Like it's this idea that, you know, people are separate from me, you know, and it's us versus them. It's, you see that in religion, religion in general, where it's like us versus them. We're on the inside, you're on the outside, sort of thing. And like Jesus is my teacher, my guide, my Zen master, my instructor, my savior, everything. And he was the most like loving being who ever lived. And you know, so it's just this switch from this religion, this stale religion, to relationship. And one that is absolute, like the essence, the purest essence is divine love, the highest good and divine love. And when I can see myself the way God sees me, then I know that I can see other people in the same light. It's like that doesn't change because someone else is not me. Like everybody's fully known, fully loved. And so I think that's been kind of a lesson that I've learned where I just wasn't able to give that love to other people. I wasn't able to love myself, and I was always fearful. And it's just something that it changes the way you approach life. So I think the security that I've grown to know and enjoy and who I am in Christ, it gives me the ability to give that love to other people and to accept people and not to shame people or guilt people. It's not my job to do that. You know, it's my job to love on people, to tell them the truth in love, to encourage them. And to seek to understand. There's so much that I don't know. Like I'm in a process of trying to learn as much as possible, to understand, to ask better questions. And so that's kind of like where I'm at from a bird's eye view. But I think for people who, to get a better context of like where I'm at now, or I guess my story in general, is, there's my stomach again, is, you know, I think it's interesting how we come into the world and what happens at a young age, how it affects us into adulthood, which we've already touched on.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. And I came into the world purple, looking like Barney. I was choking with the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck. And I think that happens a lot, you know, to be fair, but they were really worried. They got me out like emergency style and got me oxygen. But it's interesting that anxiety or fear, the root word is to feel choked or choked out or constricted. And what do you feel when you're worried and anxious and you're in that fearful state? You get constricted. So that was how I came into this world. You know, I was brought into the world like under that, in that state, under that circumstance. And then I remember choking as a young boy, choking on a piece of chicken, which really made an impact. It was very, very traumatizing. I almost passed out. And it was just that fear, that almost that primal fear that I was born with came to the surface. But it didn't go down. It became my reality for the most part. It was always there. And so I remember having panic attacks at a young age. I would wake up from sleep, which I don't even know if you can call it sleep if you're waking up in that much of a panic. You're really just like, you're just below the surface of like, conscious, but you're not getting like actual sleep, rejuvenating sleep. And I'd wake up and I'd like just have to move and like understand that I'm here, I'm still alive. I thought I was dying. It was so strange, man. And I think for people who've had panic attacks, maybe they can relate, but I felt like I was going to die in my sleep. And so I just kept, that happened over and over again. And then, you know, with a traumatic relationship in college, fast forward to that. I was really like, I grew up in church, and so the two worst things you could ever do is smoke weed and have sex before marriage. That was really like, which is so funny, you know, but that's the two things that was really like, do not do that. And so I remember, you know, saving myself for marriage. Like that was the goal. That was the goal. But yet, you know, it's so funny because like watching porn, that became a habit. And I somehow thought that was not as bad as sleeping around. And so anyway, there was a traumatic relationship dynamic in college that really became a catalyst for chronic panic attacks again, and stress and anxiety centered around sexuality and just the fear of that. And so it was very like, it was very traumatic for me. And I understood what it felt like to be completely helpless and to be in a place where you're like, I can't get out of this. I don't know how I will overcome this. This is something I'll have to live with for the rest of my life. And I prayed over and over again. And I asked God, like, if you just take this out of my life, like, that's all I want. And I'll do whatever you want. I'll, you know, be whoever you want me to be. And he didn't. And he let that journey continue. And that was one of the fears I had when I met Gigi. I was like, I'm not going to date a girl. I'm not doing it. I'm just going to focus on me. I'm going to move to Costa Rica and start surfing. but I was worried. And that was something that, you know, I even had a panic attack on our first date. I avoided, get this. She jokes about it. And I don't even know if our camera's on. She jokes about it. Because we took weeks, month maybe, to go on our first date. Why? Because I was avoiding that initial, if we go on a first date, that means we're something. And the last time I was something with someone, it was devastating. So that's a whole podcast for sure. But I think that's why I have empathy for myself and others. You know, I'm not perfect. I realize that my mistakes have happened. I hurt people. I've been hurt by people. But those don't define me. You know, those don't define me ultimately as a man, as a son, as a brother. And so my goal in life now is to live from a place of love constantly. If what made the world was the purest love, divine love, incomprehensible love, then if I'm not living in love, I'm not living in accordance to God, you know, in alignment with God. So I stopped judging myself and I stopped judging other people. And I just am on a path of trying to encourage people, connect with people, always point them to God. I believe the best thing I can do is, Jesus said, Matthew 5:16, let your light shine for the world to see. So they will give thanks, give glory to your Father in heaven. So I believe I'm, in a lot of ways, just like you, the moon that gets our light from looking to the light and reflecting that light to others. So that's kind of like where I'm at now, and I'm just trying to pursue and become love and make the world around me better and bring people up with me.
I appreciate you sharing that.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
I don't talk about a lot of that stuff. And that you can go deeper too, but it's...
Yeah.
It is, it's vulnerability is, now I know why I probably shouldn't have asked you about your childhood right away on the podcast.
Hey, a way of healing is just to talk about it and to surround yourself with someone who's just willing to listen. And sometimes that's all someone needs.
That's the most profound thing you can do sometimes is listen.
Yeah.
You saw that quote I posted about Mother Teresa.
Did I?
Maybe on my Instagram, where it was like someone asked Mother Teresa how she prays.
Yes.
And she says, well, I don't say much. I just listen.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, what does God say then?
He just listens.
He just listens.
Yeah.
And that's just so powerful, man. I told Gigi, she's like, she's so beautiful, man. Like she makes me truly, our partners, our wives make us better. You know, they challenge us. And so in this moment, she forces me to actually internalize and not be okay or not be satisfied with just sharing like a really cool, deep, profound truth, but to rather know it and internalize it. You know, because sometimes we'll do stuff. I'll post that. And it's like people will think that's really cool or profound.
Yeah.
But what's more important is that you internalize that truth. So in that moment, she goes, I don't really get that, which forced me to, okay, Brian, what does it mean? Are you satisfied with just telling people something and having that as your reward? Or is the reward you internalizing that and it becoming more of who you are?
And I love that.
So in that moment, I said, well, think of it like this. At least in my life, for me, the number one thing that gets in the way of me actually praying is me trying to pray. The more I just talk and yap and go through the script that I learned as a kid to talk to God, this is how you're supposed to talk to God, the less I'm actually praying. I'm just going through a script. Mm. So sometimes the greatest prayer is a one-word prayer. Maybe the greatest prayer is not even an audible prayer. Maybe it's a heart, this deep heart, you know, feeling and posture and direction of intention to God. Mm. So that's what I feel like that quote means to me, is that contemplative way of life where she listened to the great I am, the great, you know, God of the universe is, you know, how can I listen? Because I can yap, 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 yap. Doesn't mean I'm connecting with God.
Yeah.
So.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. But she helps me do that, right? And so does your wife. She makes you a better person. So.
In so many different ways. I could go on for an hour about Jess and everything that she's helped me with along the way.
What's your favorite part about her right now? While I go check the video. Yeah. You can talk.
She's
listening.
Yeah, the most favorite thing about her, she is just so real and authentic to herself. And I love her willingness to challenge me as an individual. I love her outspokenness to speak up for what she feels is right.
Yeah.
I love her passion for her career and making people better and to feel better. And I just love the amount of love that she carries in her heart for me and her patience. You want to talk about patience, because I'm not the individual that I am today. I was not that guy 6 years ago.
Right.
You know, I was still pretty, my heart was still pretty closed. And I didn't like to communicate, and I hated confrontation.
Man.
Confrontation, you know, because...
We are so similar, bro.
Like, you deal with that as a kid. Like, you just avoid. At all costs. Avoid. And Jess is the complete opposite, to where something is bothering her, she speaks up. She speaks her truth. She talks about it.
Yeah.
And early in our relationship, all I would sweep under the rug. But what would, and that was my life, everything, just bury it. Don't worry about it. The problem is that stuff, it's like a roof that has a leak. You know, it's going to come out somewhere.
Yes.
And it would oftentimes come out on something that was so unrelated, but that was because that frustration was not an action of what she did or what another individual did. That was already in here. You know, and that kind of goes in the story with that story that I told you about the monk sitting on the lake.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, and so, man, she's just been a blessing for me. And it took a long time for me to get to where I'm at, but I can honestly say with her support, the support that I've had from all my friends and the people that I've surrounded myself with, and then the amount of work that I put in, I have, in 40 years of being on this earth, I have never been in a place where I felt more calm and present and aware and feeling this passion to just have a greater existence than what I am.
So amazing, bro.
I feel alive, and like I feel as though like life is just now beginning.
Ramping up.
Yeah.
You're how old?
40.
40 even. You are you're flipping the script, like, to your point, right? You're changing what it means, the narrative of what it means to be fit, healthy, and well at 40. You know, so many people hit that decade mark and they're like, oh, psh, things going real downhill. But really, it's some of the best years of your life, right? And to you're a living inspiration to people who are coming of age in that sense, where, you know, or in their 50s or whatever, when they're looking at you and be like, yeah, like, it's possible to continue getting better and get better and better and better, whole, more whole and well and all that. So,
yeah,
man, my hat's off to you in so many ways than just that. But think about someone who is hearing this and they're like, man, like, Ryan is who, like, I can relate to Ryan. You know, I can relate to his story. I can relate to, you know, what he's been through. But I cannot see how. Like, I can't see the path forward to getting to where he is now. What is your piece of advice to that person? What can they do or start doing or maybe, you know, understand that maybe can help them begin that journey or start the journey or keep going on that journey to healing and maybe being where similar in a position to where you are now?
That's a big question.
It's a big question. It's literally condensing, trying to condense, which, man, stuff, and yeah, to a point is uncondensable.
Right.
But
I think everyone is on their own individual journey, and so what worked for me may not necessarily work for someone else. So let me speak on what worked for me.
Sure.
And it starts with, you talk about it, it starts with love. Going inward. Having compassion for yourself, beginning to love yourself and even love the things about yourself that other people wouldn't applaud about, right? Like, just looking at yourself and say, hey, I am beautiful. I am wonderful. I am strong. I am capable. And then taking the time to invest back into yourself. And then once you begin to build that groundwork and that foundation, seek out similar energies. Maybe you're not there yet, but maybe there's other individuals mm-hmm. that can help guide you along the way.
Right.
And really, when you strip it all down, that's really what worked for me, mm-hmm. was just having the awareness that I am not in a place where I want to be. I know that I can be better than who I am in this moment, mm-hmm. and I'm going to begin to put the time in through meditation, through self-reflection, introspection, and through surrounding myself with individuals that will, that aspire to inspire. My buddy Jamian says that all the time.
I love
such
that.
Such a beautiful, mm-hmm. aspire to aspire.
Mm-hmm.
And
aspire to inspire.
Aspire yeah. to inspire.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's really good advice, dude. I also think, too, like, go into that aspire to inspire. I thought about how what I want to do is inspire desire, healthy, good, God-like desire to become the man or woman you were always made to be, you know, and that takes a stripping of who you're not. It takes, you know, a loving of your entire self and accepting yourself and others for what they are. Which, to be honest, like, when you said that, I'm like, you're just seeing yourself the way God sees you. Like you said, love the parts, even the parts that people wouldn't applaud. I'm like, you're literally just stepping in the place of how God would see you.
Yeah.
And when I look at my baby girl, Gianna, it really built my faith to become when I became a father and seeing her, and I looked in her eyes and I'm like, you have no idea, baby girl, how much your daddy loves you. You won't even know unless you saw exactly what I see through my eyes. So she won't know, no matter how much I sing to her, play with her, hold her, love on her, speak to her, she won't know the depth of my love unless she experiences herself through me. And that, my friend, is the journey of finding God and doing life with God and seeing everything from God's perspective. That's what I want to do, is I want to see the entire world, my entire world, through God's lens.
Yeah.
Because then you have infinite grace for people, infinite patience for people. You have infinite love to give people, infinite, you know, energy to give people as well, because you're tapped into the source of all that, right?
Yeah. That's so beautiful that you say that, because it's funny how similar we really are.
I'm telling you, bro, we're brothers.
When you really strip it all down, who I really want to become or who I want to be, when you take it all away, I really just want to be the man that 6-year-old little boy was always yearning for.
Wow.
That's it.
Dang.
And what does that mean? And maybe I'm not a father now, but can I be a role model to someone else?
Father Lee.
Can I be a hero to my wife, right? Can I serve my community and come from always a place of compassion and love and understanding?
Wow.
So for me, it's very similar, right?
Dude, that's powerful, man. Be who your 6-year-old kid, your 6-year-old self needed.
Yeah.
And could look up to,
yeah,
could love on, could listen to.
Yeah.
And can be heard from, you know? Like, that's really, man, that's so powerful. Dude, that's a pretty freaking awesome podcast. We're over an hour. Like I said, I think we're going to have you on multiple times, like continued conversations. There's so much we can get into. I mean, we could literally talk about one topic and go super deep. But this is something that I thoroughly enjoyed and want to do more of. So last question is kind of like, what are you most looking forward to in life? Like, what are you most hopeful for? What gives you, you know, hope as you look to the future?
I think the idea of continuing to just rediscover myself, like the excitement of that, of like you talk about expanding. You talk about that a lot. Like, I feel like there's just so much more there.
Yes.
And so it's exciting. It's really exciting to discover yourself in new and different ways, to bring new friendships and connections into your life that, you know, provide you with additional inspiration, comfort, you know, someone that's willing to lend a listening ear, and just to continue to go on this journey with, you know, my wife and continue to expand in all the ways.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, becoming more you, which is what we talk about a lot. Yeah. And I've always been obsessed with, well, not always, but you know, you're not becoming anybody else. You're becoming more Ryan Tuttle, and growing into every aspect of who you are. Flipping, as Jordan Peterson would say, like flipping switches on that were laying dormant within you. And the fact that you're a seed, you know, I'm a seed. Like everything we need to develop is within, you know? And God just, he awakens that, you know? And that's such a cool idea. So, and it reminds me too of when I look at Gianna again, like every morning, every day that I see her, it's like, I'll even say it. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so happy. Like, it's another day you're on earth. Like, it's another day we get to be a family together. Like, we get to live again. It's like you're being reborn every day. And that's a beautiful way to live, is that every single day, to take that posture of like, yeah, we have problems, we have issues, we have stressors, but we get to do this life again. Infinite possibilities. You never know what door is going to open that day, what you're going to, you know, what's going to be illuminated that day, what aha moment's going to flick on, like what, you know, maybe pain you need to walk through. Like, it's just such a beautiful life that, you know, I want to be forever grateful for. And so I love that answer, man. Expanding more as a person, growing, and just surrounding yourself with like-minded people. So amazing. If you're in the area, right, Sarasota, real estate, do you want to give yourself a plug or anything like that? I mean, I don't, what do you? How do people find you? Like, what if they want to work with you? I don't know.
Well, you'll generally find me in my backyard in a sauna or a cold plunge.
Yes.
That's, you know.
expanding.
Yeah, you're not going to see me downtown that much these days unless I'm grabbing a good bite to eat.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm in real estate. I've been doing that for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
You know, I love to help people. You know,
residential.
Residential, primarily waterfront properties. But hey, I'll sell somebody anything.
Yeah, we're waterfront at the studio. There's a pond.
Yeah, technically. Yeah. And hey, that fills me up in a lot of different ways. But you know, if you want to get more involved with my personal life or Brian's personal life, you know, we're kind of building this this community known as Pathos. We're getting together on Thursdays at the beach and really just moving our bodies and breathing together is just kind of the surface. You know, I think we have some great ideas to really expand that out within the community and beyond. And so if you have any interest in that, then just reach out to us and come join us on Thursdays and grow with us. And
careful now. You're getting me fired up. You're going to have people moving across the country to come live in Sarasota.
I know that we're trying to recruit a guy named Colin over here, right?
Yeah. Colin Pass, buddy. Come on, dude. It's calling you.
Come on down.
The water's fine.
Yeah.
Get out of Oklahoma. But man, so freaking good. I love you, bro. You're honestly an inspiration. You're a big bro in a lot of ways to me. And I'm just really freaking proud of, you know, your journey, your healing, your growth, your willingness to learn and to expand as a human being. It takes courage. Mm. You are a courageous man. It's so easy to have been through what you've gone through and just throw in the towel. Say, F it.
Yeah.
What's the point? But you have not settled for that. And you won't settle for that because your light's way too bright to cover and to hide and to smother it. So keep shining, my man.
All I can say is the feeling is mutual and likewise. And I love everything that you're doing. You know, you've taken your platform and your audience, and you are growing it with such intentionality and with purpose. And for someone who's in your position right now, like I said, you could throw that away too, right?
Yeah.
So you're just going about it in a little bit different of a way.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful to see.
Well, dude, it starts with knowing it's a gift, you know? It's everything in life's a gift. My baby, my marriage, my platform, like you said, it's all God-given. Nothing's truly mine in that way. I'm just being used. I'm just a hose that I'm allowing God to flow through me, and that's the best way to approach it because if I try to hold on to anything, like, I'm going to lose it, and I'm going to drive myself crazy. So that's the goal, is to live open-handedly, understanding, like, nothing is ours to hold on to. You know, because if it's got to be held on to so fiercely, maybe, you know, we're approaching it from a different angle, a wrong angle. Mm. So it's beautiful, man. So feelings mutual. I love you, man. And thanks for listening. Our video went out, unfortunately. but if you listen, if you love this episode, share it with a friend. We'll have Ryan on again. So, you know, DM me, DM him. What's your Instagram? Inquiry Within. Which is fascinating, which is just a reflection of who you are, the spiritual man, the physical spiritualist. Like we're a combination. Like we're not just this monk in the monastery, but we're also not a meathead in the gym. We're blending the two, my friend.
That's it.
So that's the goal. I love you guys. I appreciate you. More to come for sure, but this is your sign to live elevated and stay fit for life, physically, mentally, spiritually. All right? Peace.
Peace.
Thanks, Ryan. Dude, that was amazing, bro.